For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ever since Bounty Gate hit the NFL, when things seem fishing and you probably smell the crooked referees on Roger Goodell. Look, yeah. Like this and I'm a hoot at. Every day I'm living, I'm a hoot at. Lose or win and I'm a hoot at. It's the sports coma, this is where we do that. Where we do that at. Where we do that at. Where we do that, where we do that, where we do that at. Boogie like this and I'm a hoot at. It's the sports coma, this is where we do that.
You're listening to the sports coma. Yeah.
All right, let's go. Network. All right. Welcome. You're now rocking with the Sports Coma with Big Q and the guys, where we have intense, entertaining, educating, and enlightening sport talk from your favorite sports fam. Much love to the fam. We up in this thing, Sports Coma representing Monday. We're getting closer and closer to the NFL draft, man. What are we, a couple of weeks now from it? Yeah, about 2 weeks or so from the draft. So, man, listen, we're getting closer and closer. And I'm getting about tired of hearing all these mock drafts. And, yeah, we're in the thick of the mock draft season. So, shout out to the Pelicans. Shout out to all the other stuff that's in between to help us deal with all this mock drafting. But anyway, to add to it, I got another one for you, another Saints mock draft to be released. And we're going to cover it today on the stream. Now, of course, y'all, please feel free to hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. By all means, feel free to share the show on your social media feed, man. We up in this thing, Sports Coma representing Big Q in the building. So anyway, we're going to delve into it, fam. And let me start it off by kind of addressing the Saints depth chart, which is currently on screen, as you can see. Hold on. You can't see. There you go. All right. So there we go. The Saints mock draft will basically be around, you know, the depth chart as we look at the depth chart. And I think the consensus is, and we did a poll on this the last stream about what would be the more pressing need for the Saints in terms of personnel, you know. So the Saints did sign a few people. We had a quick stream. We talked about that, an update stream a couple of days ago about the signings of Kelly Mond, the former Texas A&M quarterback, and the wide receiver, St. Brown, who will come in and provide depth, which a lot of people weren't too enthused about it. They also signed a defensive back to add to the secondary. And none of these, even though some of these names, none of these names move the, I guess you could say the mentality or the mindset of the family members who really don't know too much about these guys. You know, these are mostly depth pieces and bring more competition to the Saints quarterback room behind Derek Carr. So you do have several quarterbacks, Nathan Peterman, who's 6 years in the game. He's the veteran of it. And then you have guys like Jake Haener, like a lot of people believe Jake Haener has a chance. And then there's, you know, Kelly Mond, obviously, who comes in. So it just be a competition thing to see who will kind of push Peterman for that. Perhaps maybe Haener can challenge him. So we'll see how it all goes, because remember, everything changes in terms of the Saints, because what we see is all of this stuff, family, all of this stuff around the quarterback situation, dealing with the Saints team. Everybody has to learn the entire new system. So that is something that we have to be able to keep track of, too. A brand new system, everybody on the offense. So that's going to be interesting to see how fast who picks up on it. We know certain people have some experience with it, but this is going to be all new. This is the first time in a long time that we had a new offense installed since Sean Payton's 20-year system we had here. Really amazing how this all worked out. But anyway, let's get into it, family. As you can see, I think the biggest factor in my mind, and I'm drafting based on the needs that we perceived here on the Sports Coma, talking to the family members about where do you think that we should go in the draft. And obviously, I think the center point is the offensive line. I think the offensive line has a lot of question marks at both tackle positions. We talked about this, Trevor Penning not having a lot of experience there. The right tackle position with Ryan Ramczyk dealing with his injury issue with his knee, looking kind of shaky. The depth right now currently behind those tackle positions are kind of shaky. Ali Udoh was signed as the only veteran offensive lineman that we've seen coming in here. Perhaps he is the left tackle. This unofficial depth chart has Ali Udoh as a potential left tackle, you know, and we know this is unofficial, but we'll see exactly how this goes. If Ali Udoh is indeed a guy that they perceive, just saying, if it's, you know, we have to kind of look at all things, but if Ali Udoh is a guy that the Saints perceive as a left tackle, then we might have just solved one of the left tackle needs in the Saints' mindset. The right tackle position sits Landon Young. And could possibly Trevor Penning be the opposite guy? Often said for a while, as y'all know, about Trevor Penning, I don't think he should have been a left tackle. I've been saying that he should have been tried at the right tackle position, because Ram's knee issue is he needs major surgery. He had minor surgery. It's no surprise why he's struggling to get rehabbed. But anyway, the offensive line, both the tackle positions and some interior positions, could use an infusion of talent right there. The wide receiver position, not going in priority wise, but the wide receiver position just added a lot of new guys to the wide receiver position. You guys know about that. The interior defensive line for the Saints could use somebody to replace Malcolm Roach as well. We could always use an extra a linebacker or two and some help in the secondary. So anyway, without further ado, fam, let me kind of get into my latest mock right here for you guys, so y'all can see exactly what I'm talking about for this latest installment of my mock. And let's just get right into it. Now, this is my mock right here, and this is what I got for you guys. Now, remember, Tulis Fuaga is the 14th overall pick that fell to me in this current mock draft that I picked up on. He was the 14th overall selection, followed by the 45th pick, which was Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, who fell for me. And I picked up these guys because I know I wanted to have a really menacing tackle who plays the blindside tackle position. And Fuaga is if they're looking at Ali Udoh as the potential left tackle, then Fuaga could possibly be the new right tackle there, or perhaps the ideal scenario that you're looking for if Talese Fuaga could be the guy at the left tackle position, because I would take him there. He's one of the four or five top tackles in the draft. And if he falls to you at 14, you take him. He fills a big need at the left tackle position. Ryan Ramczyk dealing with a shaky knee. Perhaps you want to try Trevor Penning there because he's a first-round draft pick. You can't get rid of him yet. Let's see what new offensive line coach Benton does with him there. And then Ali Udoh shifts to his natural position, which is the guard position, which would be the left guard position. So you would also that right there fits in terms. And it's just what I'm looking at here. And you guys fill in the comment section in the chat and let me know how you guys feel about it. And by, and also for my people as watching by way of Twitter, please feel free to give this a retweet if you don't mind. And then, of course, Xavier Legette at 45, the fantastic South Carolina wide receiver. I'm going to get to each one of these breakdowns about these guys, adding him to the wide receiver room. He has speed. And remember, this is a kick returner who was very productive for the South Carolina Gamecocks. He has size, about 6'1 and a half, 220 pounds, really tough to bring down. I add him with his speed. He has the speed and the size that you would look for as a complement to a guy like a Chris Olave. He brings there. And then, of course, you can see picked 121 right there. It's like, hey, where did the hell did that come from? Well, that pick came as a result of a trade that I made. I made a trade where I took the, I wanted to move up in the draft. So I took the 170th pick and the fourth pick from last year to move up a bunch of selections, right? And to get that pick. So I gave up actually pick 168, actually three picks, the 168, 170, and a pick from in 2025 to move up to 121 so I can have that selection. And I use that on Brandon Coleman. And Coleman is a tackle that factors to be a guard at the next level. Very solid football player. Adds another young interior offensive lineman to further help out the Saints in the interior. And then we go to Johnny Dixon. Really good, solid cornerback, because we know that with Isaac Yiddum going and we got Laddie Daddy coming off of injury, Paulson Adebo and Alante Taylor, really, you know, Adebo was solid. Alante kind of bouncing back, and we need to have some good youth there. And having a guy like Johnny Dixon, good size for him, very productive player from Penn State there. My next pick would then be 25 selections later with Christian Boyd. Saints actually scouted this man, Christian Boyd, from Northern Iowa. Solid interior player. He's the kind of guy that you want to plug in the interior Saints defensive line to help them out. Then with 190, I went Sione Vaki, which is a safety from Utah, very productive. Remember, with the older safeties we had, you're going to have to start looking at safeties. And this draft is a safety-heavy draft with a lot of quality safeties in it. Pick 199, nine picks later, Tommy Eichenberg, linebacker from Ohio State. You know we always got to get an Ohio State guy, but Eichenberg is a really solid linebacker that will provide depth and then special teams play. Really solid linebacker, keeps the Ohio State thing going with them. And then the last pick for us was Josh Cephas from UTSA. And listen, Josh, solid wide receiver, very productive, could add a great deal. So as you see, this is a two wide receiver draft, just adding young talent to the wide receiver core. So anyway, that's my picks. Let's kind of delve into it to some of these people we talk about, guys, like, and let's personalize ourselves with Talese Fuaga. And when you talk about the offensive tackles in this draft, it's so many really good ones. John Alt, Fashanu from Penn State, Talese Fuaga from Oregon State, Guyton, Tyler Guyton. It's a ton of them, man. There's so many of them I can't even call all of these guys, but there are a lot of really solid offensive linemen that's in this draft that the Saints could get that will fall to them, because a lot of people's looking at it and saying that the New Orleans Saints will get an opportunity at a very good player because a lot of quarterbacks are kind of predicted to go in the top 10 picks, at least four quarterbacks. Some say five, some say four. I say four at the top. We'll see where Dixon and guys like Michael Penix Jr. goes, but these are the type of players that will fall to you. And if Tulis Fuaga falls to you, and in this current mock draft, my favorite player was one of my favorite players was Fashanu, and he wasn't available. He was drafted two picks before this one into Tulis Fuaga. Tulis Fuaga fell to me here. And I was like, yeah, this is a good selection. Now, what he does is, like I talked about, this guy comes in and he can really help you. Kind of a big, physical, nasty tackle that does really well. Now, Fashanu, I liked him because he's athletic. And so is Joe Alt. But we don't have a chance with none of these guys. I don't think we'll be able to get him. He's 5'13", 5'13", 5'13", and a 40-yard dash. You can see some images right there of the big guy moving around, doing, you know, the lateral drills or whatnot. And you can see his bio, 4 games as a reserve in 20, but the really games he did was in 2022, all Pac-12 conference. He started all games at the right tackle position, 13 games. And then in 2023, he went and he became a first team all Pac-12 conference player, did a lot of positive things for him. And he did a lot of other stuff too, but mostly a right tackle position. Does he translate to a left tackle position when you talk about Tulis Fuaga? And like I said, a lot of people like to, you know, consider him like a dancing bear, but I think he's
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Solid prospect. And I think he has a very solid temperament, you know, but he's a big guy that is pretty fond. He's pretty fond of his fundamentals, really good fundamental player, moves his feet well, very strong, plays, his pad level is okay. He plays, but some people say it's a little high, but he's a guy that has a hell of a run blocker. He moves his feet well in pass protection as well. And he's a guy that just will maul people out of there. He's a guy that will just maul people out of there. He'll be a solid selection for you as well. And like I said, sometimes they get, you know, his strengths. I ain't going to go too many into strengths and weaknesses. But when you talk about a guy like Tulis Fuaga, and if you can land him, you got a 5 to 10 year starter on your hands. And he's a very he's durable, too. And a lot of people anticipate him coming here. So if the Saints take a guy like Tulis Fuaga, 6'6", 330 pounds, and put him on the offensive line, let's give him a shot. And, of course, a lot of people are going to say, Q, why not go after the veterans at this point? There's not too many other veterans that you're going to secure this at this late date unless somebody gets cut or the Saints implement a trade to bring a veteran in, and probably they won't be able to afford that. So they're going to look at the cheaper route to do because of the restraints they have to deal with this year and next year. So the draft is imperative to filling these needs because it's the cheapest way to go in terms of getting good value at what you're going to pay these guys and the ceiling in terms of them growing into something good. So to protect Derek Carr's blind side, I would have to nominate our 14th pick this year would be Tulis Fuaga from Oregon State. All right. And then on to the 45th pick for the New Orleans Saints is this gentleman, Xavier Leggett. Now, 6'1", some say 6'1 and a half, 220 plus pounds, is a solid wide receiver. This past year for South Carolina, he lit things up. He ran a 4.39 in the combine. He's a guy that, if you can see right here, makes difficult catches. And once he gets ahead of you, it's over with. But the thing about Xavier Leggett is this: very limited production in terms of what he did this year. Like, he really, this was the year in terms of what Xavier Leggett did. Prior to that, he wasn't very active in terms of being a wide receiver. He's mostly a kick returner for the South Carolina Gamecocks. But as you can see, they had him listed as 6'1". They have him listed here as 6'3". I'm trying to say he falls somewhere in between. So you're looking at maybe 6'2", 6.5", 6'2", and it's different degrees here. The combine says 6'1", Some people say he's more 6'2 than 6'1, but regardless, 220 to 230 pounds, heavy wide receiver, strong with speed, 4.39 speed. If you look at his statistics here, and you got to overlook that, that's the one of the only knocks here. He got to work on his route running a little bit. He's not bad, but he has to work on that. Most young wide receivers have to work on that. But look at his production in 1 year, 71 catches, over 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns, 17.7 average per catch, almost 18 yards per catch. Xavier Leggett is a home run hitter for you. What's up with all these sevens, right? 7, 7, 7, 7, all over the place. But what's really interesting is how this guy plays football. I think he's very talented, could help the Black. One thing I would say about Xavier Leggett in terms of what he brings to your squad is the fact that he's a home run hitter. He's a guy that's physical, but he has 1 year of production. You know, he's, like I said, mostly special teams, but when given the opportunity to be a guy that kind of helped out there, he is a home run hitter for you. So I like Xavier. All right, on to the next player at pick 121. Remember the pick where I traded up. I wanted to get up into as close as I could back into the fourth round package and a couple of these fifth round picks to try to move as much as higher as I could get. And I could have sacrificed a little bit more, but I just didn't want to lose a certain amount of picks based on the behaviors of how the Saints operate. And so I moved up and traded multiple picks to get the 121 pick. And I take Brandon Coleman out of TCU. He was the guy that I thought that could definitely help with what we had going on interiorly speaking. I think he would be a fantastic player for the Black and Gold. Next pick, Brandon Coleman, big offensive lineman from TCU. Now, listen, I love this pick, and I'm going to tell you why. A lot of our inside talent, we have some guys, but we do have a lot of question marks in terms of our offensive guards. If you kind of look at our, look at what we got going on in terms of the depth chart, you guys can see right away that the New Orleans Saints interior offensive lineman could need some help. James Hurst is old. He's getting old and he's getting less effective. Mark Evans II is inexperienced. Nick Saldiveri is a question mark. Landon Young plays left guard. He plays guard and tackle. He's kind of up and down, even though he showed some positive stuff last year. You know what I'm saying? But this is still people that, even though we're adding talent, all I'm doing is, and I know the Saints are going to add some veterans, some cheap veterans during camp. We do this every year, like they had Trey Turner, who was able to pop up last year, and he got hurt before the season got going. The thing we look at in terms of this, when we talk about this next player, all I can say about this kid, man, is that he's phenomenal. He's a phenomenal, talented player for the club, and I think he would make a fantastic pickup. Brandon Coleman is a guy, and his name might sound a little strange to some people, but listen, we're going to get a good one here with 6'4", 6'4½, 330-pound guy, very versatile player, played guard, played tackle, is a guy that was projected as a guard at the next level. He played tackle at the college level. They project him to be a really solid guard for the Black and Gold. And why not? If you look at his 40 speed, you can see right here, 4.99 for a big guy that size is pretty good. For a big fella like that, has good footwork. You can look at his bio right here. Look at all of these games that you see, a couple of the community college games, but the games that matter. Look at his starts at what he did. In 2020, 4 games at right tackle. 21, he played 11 games, 8 starts, 1 at right guard, and then 1 at left guard. 2022, that was when he went all honorable mention in the Big 12. Started 15 games at the blind side left tackle position. Second team in 2023, started 11 games, 4 at the left guard, and the final 7 at left tackle. So we've had a guy that played right guard, left tackle, and right tackle. You see, so this is a guy that has versatility, that can move around, and he's right on par. They consider him a third-round selection. Has 3 years starting experience. A lot of stuff goes on. Very good in terms of mauling out people. Really good run blocker. moves his feet pretty well. And then he'll talk about some of the weaknesses of his game. Sometimes he leans a little bit. But outside of that, that's a pretty solid. This is a pretty solid offensive lineman. If you put the tape on and watch Brandon Coleman, you would like his play style. And he's the type of guy that would definitely help you in terms of him playing. A lot of college games that he played, you know, we like college players with a lot of experience, and having a Brandon Coleman that we picked up in the draft would be a pretty good solid pickup for the black and gold, to be honest with you, to get that guy, man. Because it'll be really good for us to land a guy like Brandon Coleman with that pick. So the next pick after I traded that up, I had to move on, and I ended up picking up another player by the name of Johnny Dixon. Now, I picked up a cornerback because, like I said, we need to start looking at the future of the cornerback position. We knew Isaac Yiddum was a guy that we were interested in. Isaac went to San Fran. And then, of course, you know, Marshon Lattimore is coming off an injury. But we're pretty solid at the cornerback position with our top three. But it wouldn't hurt the team to be able to start investing in the future and get them a good cornerback. Now, Johnny Dixon, he's listed at 5'11". But some have him at 6 feet tall. Some have him at 6'1.5". But he's a solid cornerback for you. He was pretty productive at Penn State. He's a good tackler, played a lot of games there. Has a good rough mentality that will fit the Saints style of play. In terms of the secondary, Joe Woods could take this kid and really turn him into a nice, solid reserve cornerback for us. But like they say, even in the overview, they talk about how feisty he is. If you put the tape on about him, it does show up. Missing some key attributes for true success. But he's a fighter. You know, they talk about him having stiff hips and flipping the hips and staying all this kind of stuff. But listen, a lot of that could be worked upon. You know, a lot of he's a guy that loves to tackle. He's a guy that has a gritty mentality. He's a guy that's feisty. They mentioned the term feisty. He's also physical, and he doesn't back down from a challenge. He also has good size. You know, he has, and he's a guy that will, you know, make plays. But they talk about, does he have the speed to compete in terms of the cornerback position? I'm not going to kick against that. I think based on the tape that I watched on Johnny Dixon playing for Penn State, I like the kid, man. I like the kid. I like his mentality. I like how he attacks the game. I just like his style of play. And I just think that when you look at what we would want to see in the black and gold building, as far as the cornerbacks are concerned, I think Johnny Dixon would be a good pickup. I think he would be a good fit for this team. I really do. I think he would be a solid pickup for the Saints. If you did take this guy, he would be a phenomenal signing for this team. So anyway, let's keep it moving, man. I think, like I said, let's look at some of his numbers at, as you see some of Johnny Dixon's numbers from Penn State over this past season, 20 solo tackles, now altogether 26 total tackles. He had one interception, three pass defense, but the kid had 4.5 sacks. So that tells you that he doesn't have a problem with going up and blitzing and making plays and to get at the quarterback. 4.5 sacks, and that's just not an oddity. You can see the year before he had 3. So he is showing you he has the ability to go up and go get them now in terms of the interceptions. 3 interceptions over the last couple of years. But like I said, the guy's feisty. He's one of those guys that's versatile enough where you can play him around the line and he'll go up and make plays for you. So Johnny Dixon is a guy I picked up at 150 out of Penn State, man. So I think he would be a good solid pickup for us. All right, moving on to pick 175. Christian Boyd. Now, this is a player that the Saints had an opportunity to scout. He comes from a small college, Northern Iowa. But he is a big talent, 6'3". He's about 6'3", 330 pounds. He had 38 total tackles last year and 2.5 sacks over last year and the year before, just 1 sack. But what you like about Christian Boyd's game is he's a big guy that can not only stuff the run for you, but he's also a guy that also provides a push up the middle. So he's not a big plodding interior defensive lineman who just only thing he does is just hold up the running game or just smush out holes in the interior of the interior of the offensive line. what he does do is he is a guy that's with high motor and he's constantly pushing to make plays. And like I said, he's just a phenomenal young player to have at this pick. So getting him at 175, he does feel the need for the black and gold because it gives you an interior defensive lineman that replaces Malcolm Roach. Because if you think about your interior defensive line, Brian Bercy, eventually you would want Brian Bercy to step into a starting capacity, but you would have guys like Nate Shepard, Colin Saunders already starts. And then behind him, you really need to really focus on it because there's Jack Heflin, who's untested, and John Pinacini. These are two practice squad players who have potential, but Jack Heflin's a really interesting, but having a guy like Christian Boyd to add there is just what the Saints need. Like I said, a guy, he can stuff the run, but also provides a push up the interior defensive line. High motor guy fits exactly what the Saints are doing. So Boyd is a guy that I like a lot. And I think that the Saints would be interested if they scouted this guy, that he should be a guy that the team ultimately looks at picking up, you know, somewhere around that pick. You know, you see what I'm saying? Somewhere around that. All right, so going to 190, the 190th pick in the draft, we're going to go at the safety, Sione Vaki. Now, this is a player that comes out the University of Utah. He's a safety that plays, that is a very productive safety who has some range. Some people talk about his speed or whatnot. But what I like about this kid, he's incredibly productive. Had 50 tackles last year.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.